It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, it is basically the least Monday ever, because it's nothing but good vibes. Golden Knights are on a six-game
win. What the heck is that?
I feel like that's a saying.
The least Monday.
Yes.
Least Monday. Okay.
These are not Monday vibes.
All right.
The Golden Knights are winning. They've won six in a row. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve. That's always fun. It's a day game. New Year's Day holiday on January 1st, plus a brand new start. That's good vibes, right?
You never have. You're like Tomas Hertl.
Wow.
Fun must be always.
I've never received a bigger compliment, Gary. Thank you for that.
You always have a smile on your face. And actually, I have to make sure I don't look at you. And if the team loses and we get on the bus, you're supposed to be kind of quiet for the first little while. So I always make sure I don't look at Ashley because she's too happy.
I try to not be too happy in those situations
you try,
either.
But...
Anyways, we have not had that problem lately, Gary.
No.
Because the Golden Knights have been rolling. I guess we'll just go ahead and start with last night's win over the Calgary Flames.
A mature win is how I would reference that one. They just kind of stuck with the plan the whole time. They didn't give the puck away. There was no I think Bruce Cassidy did a great job prepping them. Calgary is light on talent, but they're structured and they work really hard. And I think Bruce was, you know, the plan must have been if we don't give it away and we wait, we have more offense than them. Our talent will eventually push through. And sure enough, that's, you know, they got a great-looking goal. Excellent play by Brett Howden to get the puck to Pearson and then over to Petrangelo, and then Brett goes to the net. And, you know, we all thought the goal was Petrangelo's. And it's funny, Shane on the TV broadcast was talking about Howden going to the net. On the radio broadcast, I said to Dan right away, you know, Howden makes the smart move with the pass to Pearson, and then he goes to the net, and he gets his 15th. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
15 goals for Brett Howden.
He had 19 points, goals and assists combined, in 72 games last season. Yeah. He's four shy of that number just in goals this season. That's insane.
I've told this story before, but it bears repeating all the time. When Kelly McCrimmon traded for him, Kelly came back over to where the broadcasters were standing, and I had a chance, and I just said, so why'd you make that trade? Was it a fourth or a fifth? It was a late draft pick for Brett Howden. And Kelly just said, oh, I'm betting on the person. He knew the kind of person Brett Howden was. We all know that now, too. Like, if I said to you, now knowing the person that Brett Howden is, take the goals away.
Yeah.
He's got, you know who Brett is, and he's struggling somewhere else. And I say to you, hey, we need a third or a fourth line winger.
Yeah.
That's not what he is anymore. He's a middle six guy, a second or a third line winger. But let's say we said that to you. What would you say?
I mean, he's versatile. You can use him in any situation.
Would you make the trade, though?
You would make the trade for him as a person,
yeah.
Just like Kelly said.
Yeah.
I mean, such a positive person, pretty calm. He'll take all the chirps that are thrown his way.
He'll throw
them on occasion.
One of your best interviews in a while last. You had two really good ones last night. Your interview with Samsonov when you asked him if he was superstitious. That was excellent. It was a great question. And you never know what you're going to get when you ask one of those questions. So good on you for having the confidence there. But then Howden post game, when you were asking him about, you know, taking the goal away from Alex.
Yeah.
And his response, you were like, did you hear about it? And he's like, no, not at all. Kind of giggling.
Yes.
It was a really good, I was up on the desk in section 118 and watching, and it was, we all started laughing.
Yeah.
So,
the look on his face
said it all.
Yes. But on the flip side, you know that the team is also extremely happy for him and what he's doing. I want to ask, Keegan Kolesar told me, because the two of them trained together in Manitoba in the offseason. I asked him, maybe it was last week, about Brett Howden. Like, is there anything you saw over the summer that may have given you the indication? And he said, what happens in Winnipeg stays in Winnipeg.
But you
are the insider, so I'm just curious. Do you know anything about what happened that's maybe led to success for both of them and career seasons for both of them already.
You know, I would imagine that Bruce Cassidy and Kelly McCrimmon told them there's going to be opportunity for you.
Yeah.
You know, 7 guys left. So, you know, if you want to come to camp in okay shape and keep your current job, you could probably do that. They're both, I'll use the term they're both Quadzillas. They have huge legs, both of them.
Quadzilla. Have you said that to them?
No. They both have.
I actually think they would appreciate it, but.
Yeah, they probably would, but it's
maybe
clearly
a little creepy, but.
Yeah, well, I'm not Darren Millard.
Okay, we should turn the page. We should turn the page.
No kidding. and I think they both took that to heart and said, we've got opportunity, and I think they probably pushed one another.
Yeah.
You know, and really kind of, I think also it just happens, you get to a certain stage, you're mature, and it, like, it's the job.
Yeah.
And that part of the summer is, like, just as important as anything else. They got beat out in the first round. They had the time. They both, you know, really obviously invested in their careers, and super happy for both of them. But, you know, for Golden Knights fans, this is like the big concern. How are they going to score? How are they going to score? So Olofsson now has 8, I think. He scored last night. He's got 8. Howden has 15. Kolasar's got 9. Dorofeev has 13. Did he score last night?
Dorofeev?
Yeah. No, he scored the game before. He's got 13. I've got my chart from last night because I haven't updated it for tomorrow. But you've got all these guys having
Pearson,
career
Howden,
years.
Pearson, Howden, Olofsson last night. Yeah. Pearson's been a great add as well.
We talked about this in the post-game show last night. We called it a front office win because Samsonov gets the shutout. Logan Thompson tells Kelly McCrimmon, I want you to trade me. I don't want to be part of this anymore for whatever reasons. And he's had great success in Washington, so you have to, you know, he bet on himself, and it's paid off. But so McCrimmon makes the deal, but then he's got to find replacement, and he gets Samsonov. Like, Samsonov, the game against L.A. where he gave up a bunch of goals, he got hurt in that game, so he kind of got to throw that one out. And then he allowed 6 against Utah. And that. But other than that, he's been fantastic. And now he's won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he's given up, I think he's given up 2 goals or 3 goals in that 4-game winning streak. It's really low.
Is he outperforming what the expectations were for him? Maybe it's hard to say.
It's hard to say at this stage, but you know what I mean? If he's your backup and he's going out there and he's won 4 in a row, goals against is well below 3, save percentage is above 900. You know, he's allowed Aiden Hill to go out and do his thing. Aiden's been dynamite, maybe the hottest goalie in the league over his last 10, 8-1-1, 2.08, and 924. So
it's worth noting too, it's not always easy to be backing up somebody that's that hot, right? There's pressure that goes along with that.
Well, and I think that's where Sean Burke comes in. I think he's really done a great job. Aiden needed to find, I think there were 2 things bothering Aiden mentally when the season started. He had worked on his body in the offseason because whatever had kind of reoccurred last year, he did not want that to come into this year. And he really invested in himself this summer as well. But I think it was still in the back of his head. Did it work? Is this going to, you know, am I going to tweak whatever it is that got tweaked last year? That didn't happen. I think that's out of his head. And then I think he was worried about Team Canada. And then as soon as he got named to Team Canada, he was like, okay, I can forget about that now. I can just play. The tournament starts tomorrow. He's the number one. He's the guy for Team Canada if the tournament starts tomorrow. And that's got to make you feel really good.
What is your sense of how those announcements have impacted the confidence of multiple players? I mean, you mentioned Aiden Hill. You think Noah Hanifin.
Theodore. You know, I think they all kind of – I think Stone and Petrangelo – a little older. Petrangelo, you know, has played for Canada in the Olympics, the World Cup. I think it was really important for Mark Stone, and then he got hurt and it was kind of out of his hands. So, you know, who knows how it affected him, because you know, he couldn't really do anything
yeah.
about it. Noah, for sure, I think it was good for him. I think he was worried about it. It's a weird thing. It's not like you're going to a tryout and you're going toe-to-toe or head-to-head with these guys that you're trying to compete these jobs with. There's players over 32 teams that are all playing, and there's management teams and scouts. Like, I knew when Team USA was in the building. Did he? You know what I mean? Like you get to the press box before the game starts, and you look down, and there's, you know, Chris Kelleher, Bill Guerin, whoever, you know, Tom Fitzgerald, and you're like, okay, Chris Drury, these guys are here to watch, and especially when their team's not playing in the game, and then you're like, yeah, this guy, they're here to watch Noah. Like, I knew Team USA was, they were in Seattle when we were there, they were in Utah, and they were in Toronto, and that's just off the top of my head. So that's got to be hard to if I make a mistake tonight, you know, are they going to hold that against me? Is that going to be it? And to his credit, he played well enough to make the team, and now he's playing. Him and Petrangelo are, well, it's just like McNabb and Theodore are unreal right now, and so are Hanifin and Petrangelo. And Hagen Whitecloud are back to injuries and stuff bothered them a little bit last year, and now they're back to where they were in 22-23.
How would you describe what that means? Like Nick Hague and Zach Whitecloud being back to that form, what does that look like to you?
It makes the best makes the best top six defensemen in the NHL. That's when they're playing the way they are. Simple game, you know, clean breakouts. You know, Hague's been getting a lot of shots on goal. I'm waiting for Whitecloud is really good at like sneaking down that right side and getting his shot off. He's not there quite yet. That's the next thing for them to install. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't have the time of ice in front of me right now, but like, no one played over 22 last night. You know, I think Jack Eichel led the team in ice last night because of all the special teams.
So we've talked about scoring depth up front. We've talked about the decor. We've talked about the goaltending. It is very difficult to find a weakness in this Golden Knights roster.
Yeah, for sure. You know, right now their bottom six is with Barbashev out, that moves a winger up. With Waugh out, that, you know, I mean, there's two players skating in your forward group that normally wouldn't, and that has affected their top six has been fine. Their bottom six, you know, like that, some of the players playing less than 10 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. That's not what Bruce Cassidy wants to do normally. So, right. So, you know, when they get back to health, you know, that to me is the area. Like, you've got Hill and Samsonov and Schmid and Henderson. You're fine in net. You've got the six that are playing, plus you've got Korzak and Hutton. You've got that, and Robert Hag came up and played fine too. So you go nine deep on D. You don't have a problem there. To me, it's if you are looking at the lineup and wondering where do you have to add, it's in the forward group. And, you know, they have cap space. They'll have flexibility at the deadline. We'll see what Kelly McCrimmon decides to do.
Trade deadline Gary will be here before we know it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Gary. Four Nations Gary gave him a run for his money. But anyways, we have a lot left coming up on the show. We hope to hear from Bruce Cassidy at some point during the show and what he has to say to the media ahead of tomorrow's noon New Year's Eve game against the Montreal Canadiens. We are also going to catch up with a key member of the video production team about an incredible piece on Zach Whitecloud that is airing tonight. First, we're going to head to break. But don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. We'll be right back.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Ashley Weiss with Gary Lawless, and now also joined by the director of video production for the Vegas Golden Knights, Patrick Ruhlig. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Big night for the video and entertainment team of the Vegas Golden Knights, because a piece that you've been working on for a very long time, Zach Whitecloud Origins, premieres tonight on Nighttime Plus at 7 o'clock. But for those who maybe haven't seen one of these pieces before, what are the Origins series?
Yeah, so the first one we did was on William Karlsson. I think we did it in 2018. I think I'd have to check exactly when we did it, but it's been a while. And I forget exactly, it's been so long, where the idea came from. We see these players play on the ice, and this is a piece just to get to see their story, where they came from, how they they started playing hockey early on, they all have different stories of how they got to where they are, and this is just a way to tell that story.
So you pick Zach like Whitecloud for, so you've done Karlsson, Marchessault was done a couple of years ago, and now Zach Whitecloud. Why'd you pick Zach?
I think Zach's story, once you watch, you'll see he's an amazing story. But I think a lot of what came down with Zach's was, we did these Cup Days. We were doing these Cup Day features that came out after we won the Cup. And we decided while we were there, a lot of his family were all going to be together. So we were as we were talking about it, putting it together, we were like, this is an amazing story. Let's see if we can tell his story. And I think it turned out great.
So he speaks to his Indigenous heritage. You attended a powwow as part of his Stanley Cup days. And it's a pretty powerful moment in the documentary. Is what sticks out to you about the entire piece?
I mean, I think that whole segment, but as it's a segment in the piece, I mean, I think that portion of the day was unbelievable. The whole day was a whirlwind. We actually just talked to Zach recently, and we were talking about just that day, and it was the Cup Day, so we were all over the place. But that particular portion of the day, seeing his family, but then just the entire nation behind him. We didn't know what was going to happen when we got to the powwow, and we didn't even know, we were running around with the camera. We didn't even know if we could be where we could be, but we kind of just were like, we got to get these shots, because it was just an amazing thing to witness. So I would say that portion for sure, it definitely sticks out.
How is this going to change people's perspective on Zach Whitecloud and what they think they might know about him?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely learned a ton about him. He's obviously a really, really great guy. I think that, you'll just get to know his story. I think you'll probably be a little bit surprised in terms of his journey. It's definitely a unique journey. It's a really great story.
It's a bit of an underdog story. I feel like as someone who, works in sports production, those have to be the best to tell.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, we learned a lot as we were going and talking to him, and it's been awesome. So
you're a Michigan guy, so you're not you're familiar with the ODR, the outdoor rink. But does this piece change your perspective at all on outdoor hockey?
Well, in Canada, I think you guys take it to a different level on the outdoor rink. But Michigan, obviously, I grew up, we would play on some ponds and stuff. But yeah, I mean, hearing that part of Zach, it's amazing. And the images, and that's another part of it, too. They supplied us with some photos, and seeing some of those images of Zach, where they created an outdoor rink in his backyard, and then there was a big outdoor rink, a public one that's he went to down the road. Awesome. It's awesome to see all these images and just see that he talks about it. Just I think there's a portion where his dad was talking about how he had to run to, yell to get off the ice, come home, come eat, he's passionate. He's passionate about the game. And, that's what brought him, to this point.
I can tell you how cold it is that day. No, just by, that's near Brandon, Manitoba. Yep. And, they've all got, the one kid has jeans on, but you can see he's got layers underneath. those three kids in the foreground all have snow pants and stuff around their necks. It's minus 20 Celsius.
Oh my gosh. What is that Fahrenheit?
Cold.
Very cold.
That's all we need to know. Too cold for Ashley, I can tell you that. For those listening on the radio, we're looking at a photo right now of a very young Zach Whitecloud on an outdoor rink with many of his friends in Manitoba. So what Gary just described, you'll have to tune in to the Origins piece. We're on both, so it works. But that's a nice little teaser that people listening on the radio, if you want to see that photo and much more, make sure you watch it tonight.
And how many people were involved in putting this together?
Very large team. The person though that edited he shot with me, but then also edited the whole thing was Alec Mashuda. This has been a big passion project for him. So huge props. And actually, while we were there shooting, he actually said to me, he was like, I really want to put this together. He was very passionate about it. So this has been something, and obviously it's taken a very long time to put together. It's a very large piece, and with all the different content pieces that we put together, it's a tough one to, and also Alec is one that you guys know is on the road a lot.
Yep.
So it's a very hard thing
you
for him to.
You made a movie in your. Well, you don't have any spare time. He stayed late. He worked a lot of extra hours.
Absolutely.
To make this happen. We absolutely love Alec. Yeah. He's super talented.
Absolutely.
Great guy to have on the road. Good person. Fun guy.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah, no, a lot of similarities there. But Alec, incredible passion, passionate about this project. And honestly, I wish he's actually flying home today. He was home for the holidays. So wish he could be here actually to talk to you guys. But
his dad is a loyal viewer of our content and listener of our content. So if Alec is on the plane
now
and can't watch, hopefully his dad can pass it along.
Hello,
fans,
Ed.
Hello, Ed. Yeah, he'll love Ed. That. He'll, I wasn't going to say his name, but you did. So
perfect. Ed has the greatest chirp of all time.
Oh.
Yes. To you?
Oh, to you?
Oh. I was wearing a dark blue polo, and I had gray pants on. And my daughter took a picture of me, and we put it on Instagram. And he said I looked like a softball umpire.
All right.
I put it on Twitter, and everyone thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Way to go,
I still
Ed.
Haven't forgiven Ed.
Oh.
And we love him for it. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. What viewers will see tonight on Nighttime Plus at 7 o'clock is a 24-minute piece, I believe.
Yes.
But just curious, so that's 24 minutes, but so much time went into this. I guess, can you, you talked about being at his Cup Day and, more interviews and all the time that Alec Mashuda put into editing the piece, but how would you sum up all the work that goes into a piece like this? It's 24 minutes, but you talked to so many people. Just the process of going about it.
Yeah, the Cup Day was part of it, getting some of those interviews and everything. But then also, we sat down, for separate days and separate interviews. So it wasn't just a single day production. And actually, when we did the sit-down interview with Zach, we actually went up the day before the Cup Day. So it was quite a few days of actual production. And then a few days then after that getting up, but then also tracking down, and Alec did a lot of this too, actually did all of it pretty much, was reaching out to Bemidji State and the different teams that that Zach had played for, and corresponding with them and trying to get some photos and footage and getting all that stuff and all of those images that you see, and seeing Zach in college doing an interview, like those are awesome moments. And and we actually had the opportunity to go to Zach's house and show him the piece, and it was fun to see his reaction of when he sees like this old interview of him, young Zach, with the interview. It was cool to just see, see that stuff. It was a lot of work to put everything together, but really, we're really proud of how the piece came out.
Do you have a favorite interview in the piece, one that stands out, even if it's one maybe you didn't expect?
Yeah, I think it was with his aunt when she's she's describing the teepee and that because that whole part where we got to his family's house, we didn't really know, it was just a big party that was happening, and we kind of just walked around and we were talking to people, and Darren Millard, another gigantic part of this whole piece, and Nate Ewell as well. We were kind of just talking to people and, asking, how do you know Zach, or how do you relate it? And that's kind of how these conversations happened. And then we started filming them, and then they told us these stories. And as they did, it just developed into what you guys will see tonight at 7 p.m.
Well, incredible job.
Thank you. Thank you.
You gave the shout out to Darren Millard, a huge piece of the behind the scenes, a huge piece as well of what you will see tonight, 7 o'clock, Nighttime Plus. Make sure you're there. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
Congrats on another amazing piece. Good luck at the game tomorrow. Big New Year's Eve noon game. He's also part of the team that gives you the incredible atmosphere every night at the Fortress. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will hear from Golden Knights head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon, where we just heard from Patrick Ruhlig, the director of video production here with the Vegas Golden Knights, who was telling us all about the Zach Whitecloud's VGK Origins piece that will air on Nighttime Plus tonight at 7 o'clock. So make sure if you don't have a subscription, you subscribe, because you do not want to miss it. Now we're going to take a quick break from talking about the Golden Knights to just talk about the hockey world in general. And what better place to start, Gary, with Alex Ovechkin. He misses 40 to 41 days only after breaking his leg, comes back and scores in each of his first two games.
Yeah, so I think he needs 25 goals now, mm-hmm. and has 42 games left, or 41 or 42. Either way, if he keeps the pace he's at, he'll break it. And someone figured it out the other day and figured out the schedule, and he would break it in L.A. when Washington is in L.A. later in the season. And that would be pretty cool. When you figure the Wayne Gretzky ties to L.A. and Wayne Gretzky will be at some point in time, when he gets to within 5 goals of the record, 4 or 5, Wayne Gretzky will then, start to follow the Capitals around, and wherever they are, Wayne will be there, because when he breaks the record, they'll want Wayne in the building to be part of that moment. So, pretty cool. He's a special athlete. He's been scoring those goals from the same spot, the same way, for his entire career. And everyone knows it's coming, and no one can stop
it. Just can't stop it. I don't know where you stood, if you go back a few years when people started to gauge, is he going to break it? But did you anticipate that he would come into this season as hot as he has?
No, especially, he started last year really, really slow, and then he picked it up was tremendous down the stretch. I'll be honest, I was a little worried about Washington, because I kind of thought they were going to be in limbo, mm-hmm. until he broke this record. But
it's been the opposite, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe it's given him juice?
Well, management has been able to, now they got lucky. Lucky is the wrong way to say it, but the injuries, the long-term injuries to a declining Oshie and Nick Backstrom, who, just weren't the players that they were before, but still were under contract to big dollars, those guys get put on LTIR, and that gives them flexibility. They added 9 guys this offseason and some big pieces. And Chychrun has been really good since he came over. Dubois hasn't produced like he has in the past, but has been an important player for them, has done a good job. And Spencer Carberry is, right in the mix for coach of the year. It's funny, a quick sidebar. Someone from Ontario, from Toronto, a media member for Toronto, yesterday tweeted out his list of coach of the year candidates, mm-hmm. Cooper, Carberry, and somebody else, all from the East. And I'm like, well, what about
No Bruce Cassidy on that.
What about Cassidy? What about Jim Hiller in L.A.? Yeah. And what about Scott Arneal in Winnipeg? Like, Winnipeg and Vegas go back and forth for first overall in the league, depending on, you know, the outcome of games on a given night. Scott Arneal has done a tremendous job there. And this award has become all about, you know, who takes a terrible team and makes them a great team.
It's not easy to keep a team great, though.
Why not? Why not reward constant excellence? So, and Bruce Cassidy, as we talked about earlier today, you know, Vegas since November 21st, they're like an .852 points percentage.
They haven't lost consecutive games in that time.
14-2-1 since November 21 for an .852 points percentage, number one in the league by a ton. So, Bruce has done a pretty nice job.
10-1-0 in December, too, with a chance to go 11-1-0. Am I right on that?
10-1-0 after last night, yeah. They've won 9 of 10 and have won 6 in a row. So, yeah, they're rolling.
Well, since you don't want to talk too much about the East, I want to go back to the West.
I'll talk about the East.
I'm just kidding. Vancouver with some injury troubles. That's tough for them.
Rick Tocchet announced that Elias Pettersson will not go on, and Quinn Hughes will not go on the road with the team. I think they left yesterday. So those guys are week to week, and we'll see how they do with that. You know, Vancouver has become just a soap opera this year with all this talk about bad blood between Pettersson and JT Miller, and then people are saying they got to trade one of them. They're two of their most important players.
Yeah.
Hughes is their most important player, but those guys come in right after him. And, that's...
tough for a team who really turned a corner last year, too.
Yeah, you were kind of thinking that they were going to be something special this year, and they're still in the playoff picture, but they have
still
not
still a lot of time, too.
Absolutely. And they have the ability to go on a run. And they've done all this with their starting goalie, Thatcher Demko, missing a big portion of the season.
Certainly missing Quinn Hughes, though, a huge loss for them, without a doubt. Winter Classic coming up. How do you enjoy the Winter Classic, Gary?
I like being there.
Yeah?
Yeah. We got to go last year.
You're not going this year, though.
We did. I think I've been to four of them.
Okay.
One in Winnipeg, one in Lake Tahoe, one in Seattle, and one in Chicago. A long time ago. So Chicago, they seem to get it every other year.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool event. I heard someone this morning on NHL radio complaining that it's not the must-see TV that it once was. It's not, but for people that in the town where it takes place.
Yeah, incredible experience.
It's a great event. If you get the chance to go to one, and you will, because they're going to have one in Vegas at some point in time, and it'll, you know, everything they do here is the best. So it'll be tremendous. Can't wait.
What would that look like here?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the where they would have it, because Allegiant has a roof on it. I think they might have to, you know, if the baseball stadium does get done and it has a retractable roof, that'll be the spot.
That'd be so cool. Palm trees everywhere. Got to make it happen.
Kevin Adams wouldn't be happy about palm trees.
Got to put a word in, Gary.
I don't have any power in these areas. Listen, if Bill Foley decides he wants to do it, it'll happen.
I think players would probably prefer that over, you know, the coldest Winter Classic in history, 3 years ago in Minnesota at night. That's fun, but man. You know who? Ivan Barbashev would have been part of that
guys,
one. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we'll ask Ivan about it.
Yeah, we'll ask Ivan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, no updates on him. So.
Well, updates, Bruce Cassidy said on Saturday that Ivan and Nick Waugh were skating. So that's a real good sign. And, you know, that they haven't returned. They haven't joined the team yet. They didn't skate with the guys this morning. So, but hopefully that happens soon. And that results in them getting back into the lineup. They're missed.
Another thing front and center in the hockey world right now is the World Junior Championships. Tuomas Juronen with the game-winning OT goal as Finland upsets the U.S. yesterday.
Yeah, so there's three guys in the tournament. Ironen, who you just mentioned for the Finns, Trevor Connolly playing for Team USA, and Matthew Cataford for Team Canada. Cataford had a goal for Canada yesterday in their win over Germany. So, you know, Connolly is probably, you know, he was a first-round pick by the Golden Knights last year. They got him late. He dropped a little bit in the draft because of some off-ice stuff that he's cleaned up and has really grown from and become, you know, a better person from the situation. He's the one to really keep your eye on, although both these other two guys, Cataford was player of the year in the Quebec League last year, and Ironen obviously has risen in on the Finn roster throughout the tournament, kind of started down a little lower and keeps getting more and more opportunity as the tournament goes on.
What's your favorite part of this tournament? There's been a couple upsets already.
Yeah.
Big ones.
You know, it's the chance to see young players for the first time that, you know, usually if a guy is really good in the World Junior, you know, if he's a first liner for Canada or the U.S. or Russia, or they're not in it this year, the Czechs, the Swedes, the Finns, those guys eventually when they get to the NHL, they slot in. Where they slot on their World Junior team is probably where they slot with their NHL team, because it's the best of the best at their age group, and as they advance, they probably stay at that, most often they stay at that level. So it's the first opportunity to, you know, the first time I ever saw Alex Ovechkin play was in 2005 in Grand Forks at the World Junior Tournament.
And would you have anticipated this?
No, you know what I mean? Canada decided they were going to eliminate him, and they did. They chased him all around the ice, and that's the best team ever to play in the World Junior Tournament, Team Canada that year. Crosby was on the third line. He was like 17. He was just a kid.
They had a literal kid.
They had Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaff, Mike Richards, Nigel Dawes.
What is Canada like during this tournament?
Well, it was
all
fun.
Eyes on it.
That tournament was in Grand Forks, which is 2 hours south of Winnipeg. And when Canada played, on the days where Canada played, they would run out of Clamato juice. Ashley knows Clamato juice.
I'm a big fan of Clamato juice.
She likes
yes.
a Caesar. They'd run out of Clamato juice like before the first period was over. It was mayhem. It was really fun. People, you know, the New Year's Eve game, people will gather around at someone's house to watch, and they really enjoy it. So it's a big deal up there.
One more thing before break,
because yeah.
We're talking about hockey, how big it is in Canada. Of course, it is continually growing. Vegas is a hockey town, and the UNLV Rebel Hockey Program in an exhibition game take down Denver a couple nights ago. The defending national champs, they're ranked number 5. Not to mention, this is an ACHA team taking down a Division I NCAA team who's ranked number 5 in the nation.
Yeah, I recently came to a UNLV game against Colorado College, I believe, and UNLV ran over them. And it was the UNLV program is run as close to a D1 program mm-hmm. as you can get without being a D1 program. They practice here at City National Arena. We see them practice. They're really well run, first class in every way. And I wonder how long before they try and make the leap, if they're going to try and make the leap.
I liked the captions. I think, is this the captain with the shootout winner here? Sorry, I forget again. We're on radio right now. Club hockey is college hockey. That's been the caption on a lot of it. And I have a soft spot for ACHA club hockey because I covered it at the University of Arkansas.
I have a lot of friends
who played on that team.
Really?
They do have a team.
Huh.
Yep. The Ice Hogs. They skate in Springfield, Arkansas.
Love it.
Yep. Anyways, all right, we'll head to break on that note. When we come back, don't know for sure if we're going to be able to hear from the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, but either
we're
way,
trying.
We are for sure going to preview tomorrow's game and more. So before we go to break, can't get enough hockey? Well, the Lees Family Forum is the place for you. Home of the Henderson Silver Knights, you will be able to get even more hockey. The team will wrap up their homestand tomorrow as they host the Ontario Reign at 5 p.m. So make sure to head over to hendersonsilverknights.com to get your tickets today.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is climbing the table in the English Premier League, where they take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries this weekend as they take on Everton on Saturday, January 4th at 7 a.m. Catch all of their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or stream on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be a part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. Up the Cherries. And as we welcome you back inside Studio 31 at City National Arena, Gary, before we transition to more Golden Knights talk for this final part of the show, what's going on in New York with the Rangers?
That's a great question. I don't think anyone really knows. There seems to be every move they've made from, you know, they parted ways with Barkley Goodrow. The dressing room really missed him. Then they forced Jacob Trouba to accept the trade. They put Chris Kreider's name out there. They just continue to lose hockey games. And another loss yesterday didn't look very good in the doing. Someone posted on Twitter a picture of the bench late in the game, and every guy on the bench had his head down. And it's one of those things you hear Bruce Cassidy talk about all the time, is, you know, when things are going poorly in a game, in a game for his team, you know, what did the bench feel like? How are they? And he'll, like, you know, we were good. The guys were talking and there was still good energy, good body language, all of that thing. They got none of that in New York right now. And Peter Laviolette, pretty good coach, won a Stanley Cup. He doesn't have any answers for them right now, which is, or they're not responding to what he's putting out there, or they're trying to defy management. There's, you can look at this a million different ways, but not winning any games. They won the President's Trophy last year. That's a precipitous fall in a very short amount of time.
Do you see it turning around for them?
No. Not, maybe to a certain extent, but not. You know, they need to book a trip to see U2 at the Sphere.
and then have it get canceled.
The Eagles.
Pull a Nashville Predators on them. You know, I hear, yeah.
In the old days, the coach would lock them up in a bar somewhere on the road and throw a bunch of beer at them. Or they'd get in a fight in a game.
Practice, yeah.
Not just one fight, like kind of like a mini brawl or whatever. None of these things happen anymore. You know what I mean? They don't.
It's the kind of stories we like to hear from Shane Knighty.
Yeah, well, I can remember a friend playing for the Philadelphia Flyers, and they fired their head coach and hired the great, late great Bill Dineen, and their first trip was to Fort Lauderdale, and they were going to play the Florida Panthers. And they landed in Fort Lauderdale. They didn't play that night. And I think they didn't play the next day. They were going to practice. And on the bus ride from the airport to the hotel, he told the bus driver to pull over. He grabbed three or four veterans. They walked into a gas station. He bought all the beer they had in the gas station, put it on the bus, said, no practice tomorrow. Go out and have some fun. And I'll see you for a morning skate on 2 days later, whenever that was. And they went on a great tear, won a whole bunch of games. And Rick Tocchet tells a great story about when he was playing for Mike Keenan with the Flyers, and they're kind of going through a rough spot. He took them to Lake Placid, and he put on equipment. The coach did. Put on equipment and stepped out on ice before the practice and said, here's your chance. They're like, what are you talking about? He goes, hit me, cross-check me. I'm going to skate. I'm going to take part in the drills. you got something to you want to get off your chest? Take a run at me.
Did they partake?
They had first no one would go near him, and then he got mad about that. So Rick Tocchet finally said,
all
okay.
All of a sudden, it's a domino effect.
And Rick ran him over. But and that worked for them. But none of that stuff happens in today's game.
And thankfully, Bruce doesn't have to do that because his team is doing very well, and the vibes seem to be extremely high around the team. How do they keep it going?
Yeah, that's a great question. And our pre- and post-game intermission producer, Taylor Quellman, just sent out a note to us about that. What do you mm-hmm. want to see? What's the New Year's resolution for the team? I talked about this in the post-game show last night. Alex Pietrangelo said when he was in St. Louis, and I've heard Craig Berube talk about this as well, when Craig took over the team in his first meeting, he said, you guys are really good, but you don't play like a team. And he said, I'm not saying you're bad teammates, because that's not what it is, but you don't play like a team. And what he meant was, you can't worry about your own stats. You have to worry about what's best for the team. And Petro explained that he said, we all had to learn to take a little less for ourselves for the betterment of the team. So if that meant, playing less so that everybody could get their touches and be involved, that's what you did. You changed your shift length and when you were getting off the ice, and the biggest thing is blocking shots. And Bruce's teams always are near the top of the league in blocking shots, led by formerly Alec Martinez mm-hmm. and Braden McNabb. And Braden, everybody blocks shots here. That's just part of what you're doing, and you're taking a chance.
Every
you put
time.
Put your body in front of the puck going, 80 miles an hour, and it's like that's frozen hard rubber. That hurts. It can leave a mark. But guys do it here. So, to me, what I want to see is playing like a team and playing to win. We saw that last night. We've seen an awful lot of it of late, and if they can continue to do that, they're going to win the division for sure, and that's the most important thing. Win the division, let Edmonton and LA beat the heck out of one another in the first round, and go from there.
Yeah, the flashy outfit plan for tomorrow, New Year's Eve.
I leave the flashy to you, Ashley.
Oh, I don't know. Shane Knight is the Ashley. Flash King. Well, all right. I don't know if I will be able to live up to that name, but I will certainly try. It is a noon puck drop tomorrow. Pre-game is at 11:30 on Scripps Sports. Of course, you can always listen to Dan and Gary as well on Fox Sports Las Vegas. In the meantime, this was Nighttime at Noon. Thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy another holiday week.